Listen to the word of the good news recorded by Luke in chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. One of the dinner guests, on hearing this, said to him, "Blessed is the one who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Then Jesus said to him, "Someone gave a great dinner and invited many. At the time for the dinner, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land and I must go out and see it. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please accept my regrets.' Another said, 'I have just been married and therefore I cannot come.' So the slave returned and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and said to the slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' And the slave said, 'Sir, what you ordered has been done, and there is still room.' Then the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the roads and lanes and compel people to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" The word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
Our second reading comes from Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 8, and I will be reading a translation by Johanna Boss. "So says the Holy God, 'Guard justice and do righteousness, for it is just about time for my deliverance to come and for my righteousness to be revealed. Happy the person who does this, the human born who holds it strongly, guarding the Sabbath from profanation, guarding one's hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreign-born say, 'She who has joined herself to the holy God, separate, yes, separate God will keep me from his people.' And let not the eunuch say, 'Look at me, a tree all dried up.' For so says the Holy God, to the eunuchs who guard my covenant, who choose what is my delight, and who hold strongly to my covenant, I will give to them in my house and my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters, a lasting name I will give them that will not be cut off. As for the foreigners joined to me, who serve me for the love of my name, who are my loyal servants, all who guard my Sabbath from profanation, and who hold strongly to my covenant, I will make them come to my holy mountain and make them glad in my house of prayer. Their offerings and their sacrifices shall find a welcome on my altar. For my house will be called a house of prayer for all peoples, says the Holy God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, gathering yet more to those already gathered." The word of God for the people of God. This service is a collaborative effort of the Theologies of the Global South class, and the sermon comes out of the reflections of a round table pulpit group within that class, Loida Aha, Ted Chalk, Beth Hilkerbaumer, Leslie Latham, Jack Mong, Marianne Petro, and Tricia Watson. I'm grateful to them and to Johanna Boss for her work on this text. The Theologies of the Global South class has spent this semester living into the reality that the Christian center of gravity has shifted toward the churches of the Southern Hemisphere. Western Christians have for a long time been used to sitting at the head of the church's table, planning the theological menu, dominating the dinner conversation. Perhaps this made some kind of sense 200 years ago when well over 90% of the world's Christians lived in Europe or North America. However, the current guess is that 2/3 of the world's Christians live in Africa, Asia, Latin America, and the Pacific. Their numbers are growing, while Western numbers are shrinking. Demographically, non-Westerners are now at the head of the church's table. And all semester, our class has been getting used to these new table arrangements. We have been sitting along the sides of the room, listening to the new accents coming from the head of the table. And for the last couple weeks, we have been listening to African voices. With some 350 million Christians in Africa, these voices demand a hearing by all the Christians of the world. As missiologist Andrew Wall says, a high proportion of the world's serious theological thinking and writing will have to be done in Africa if it is to be done at all. You can't do serious theological thinking in Africa today without reflecting on HIV and AIDS. Even a continent away, reading and hearing African voices reflecting on the HIV/AIDS pandemic has been a wrenching experience for our class. The numbers themselves are devastating enough. Of the over 42 million people living with HIV and AIDS, 74% of these infected people live in sub-Saharan Africa. Over 19 million women are living with HIV/AIDS, and in Africa, being a married woman increases your risk of contracting the disease. There are 14,000 new infections every day, and 95% of those are in developing countries. The UN estimates that currently there are 14 million AIDS orphans, and that by 2010, there may be 25 million. When you get beyond the numbers to some of the millions of faces of AIDS, you see how the suffering of both the infected and the affected is magnified in Africa by poverty and patriarchy, by social shame and stigma, by the silence and denial of families and churches. On this World AIDS Day, it might seem natural for me to exhort us, as rich and respectable first world Christians, to renew our determination to be kind and generous and magnanimous toward the millions of our sisters and brothers around the world suffering so obscenely from this disease. It's a sermon that almost preaches itself and fits in nicely with our image of ourselves as God's appointed representatives, guardians of the holy mountain. North Americans are used to the global role of gatekeeper of political power, natural resources, of money and medicines. Likewise, it's easy for North American Christians to see ourselves as kindly gatekeepers of the kingdom, generous hosts at the banquet of grace. But the text that the Sermon Roundtable group chose for me is Isaiah 56. And that text upsets our comfortable self-image as hosts and gatekeepers. God doesn't tell the washed, unblemished, native-born, respectable believers to make room at the table for the foreign-born and the eunuch. Even that would be surprising enough, since it is precisely those categories of people who are denied admission to God's holy assembly in some passages of Torah. Instead, God declares that the foreign-born and the eunuchs are the guardians of God's covenant, the loyal servants of the Holy One, the lovers of God's name, the heirs of God's promised future. The outcasts of Israel are at the head of God's banquet table, and the rest of us respectable types are invited to join them. In God's community, we do not choose our companions. They are given to us by grace. We are gathered according to God's own choosing, irrespective of the human restrictions we have put in place about who is socially or sexually unacceptable. It is not that the unclean must first be cleansed by following the law, and only then can they be allowed to be part of the community. God declares the outcasts of Israel welcome. It's the rest of us who have to adjust. God addresses those who have internalized the shame and stigma of their society, those who feel separated and alienated from God's people, those who see themselves as dried up and fruitless, the family too ashamed to tell their neighbors the real cause of their child's death, the pregnant woman so fearful of the stigma of AIDS that she refuses the pill that would protect her newborn baby, the HIV-positive man who feels shunned even by fellow members of the gay community. About these ones, God says, I will make them come to my holy mountain and make them glad in my house of prayer. Their offerings and their sacrifices shall find a welcome on my altar. The church is called to be the place where we can cast off human illusions of being strong, of being whole, of being morally beyond reproach. It's the place where we can practice putting away our self-defending, self-justifying, self-protecting habits in every area of our lives. The church is where God makes peace between heaven and earth and makes us holy by the invitation to come share in that peace. It is where we learn day by day what it means to let the power of Christ live in us by the Spirit. No other power, no other spirit. Should we be surprised then that the poor, the suffering, the shamed, and the stigmatized have so much to teach the rest of us about what this covenant life looks like? Are we willing to sit at table with them and listen to them? In a moment, God will gather us at this table, the table of the outcasts of Israel. This is a table for hungry, broken people. We are gathered at this table because God knows we need the grace and hope it offers. And we know that we need this grace and are willing to acknowledge that need before our brothers and sisters. That's why we're here. Thank God we have not deceived ourselves to the point of thinking that we don't need this table of grace, that we are somehow already whole and healed and full. So we come, drawn by our common hunger, gathered with those God has already gathered there. We are not in charge of the guest list or the seating arrangements. We come like everyone else, because Christ has promised to feed and heal us. And around this table, we find the outsiders, the stigmatized, the ones who are tempted, we are tempted either to fear or to ignore. we find that they are the guardians of God's holiness, treasured members of God's house of prayer. Standing with God requires standing with them. So get ready to come to this table. As the choir sang, bring your guilt, bring your anger, bring your sorrow. We have plenty of that to bring on World AIDS Day. Know that guilt, fear, anger, and grief are all welcome at God's altar. And through Christ's gifts of bread and wine, let healing come. Let freedom come. Let hope break through our despair. And let the worship of God around this table extend to all the tables of our lives, to our kitchen tables, our classroom tables, our boardroom tables. As those gathered with the beloved of God, guard justice and do righteousness. Let advocacy, education, care, and generosity be the signs of our covenant faithfulness. Amen.